I apologize, Mr. Speaker, but we will be here a little bit longer. Honorable Senators, it is a pleasure to rise today, finally, to move third reading of Bill S-224, the Canada Prompt Payment Act. Now, do I need to move that and then sit down? I so move.
Bill, as amended, be read a third time on debate. Senator Platt.
Thank you, and I will be brief. It is late. We all want to go home. I need to build a shed at home, something that I had to pay for when I bought it. They didn't give me any credit. This bill, Bill S-224, the Canada Prompt Payment Act, was first tabled in this place on April 13, 2016, over 1 year ago. And sadly, in that time, trade contractors across the country have continued to go out of business. Colleagues, this is too long for an issue as important and straightforward as workers getting paid for work they have completed. This legislation had extensive and unorthodox journey through the committee, but witnesses were overwhelmingly supportive, and truly that is an understatement. As Senator Tanis reminded us at clause by clause, we had men in tears here. We know there is a big problem. The problem, colleagues, is that it has become an accepted and tolerated practice in the construction industry that unpredictable delays in payment down the contractual chain are just part of the normal course of doing business. The average duration for a trade contractor to receive payment for certified, that is certified work, and that is not in dispute, is over 70 days, 7-0, 10 weeks. I've mentioned before in this chamber that this puts trade contractors in a liquidity vice. The trade contractors' revenues are subject to unpredictable delays without any flexibility on their payables. Weekly wages, payments to the CRA, payment for materials must be made within 15 days, and the list goes on. Most trade contractors are small employers. The majority of trade contractors employ fewer than 20 employees. Trade contractors often commit all of their resources to one single project. In these circumstances, there are serious consequences when there is an increase in cash flow risk. A 3 or 4 month delay in making a payment when a project is absorbing all or virtually all of a trade contractor's business resources puts the survival of the business at grave risk. I'll remind colleagues that Canada is the outlier. Nearly all jurisdictions in the Western world have prompt payment legislation, including virtually all of the U.S. states and the federal government. The Canadian provinces are also moving quickly on this file. In fact, Ontario's legislation is slated to be tabled this spring. Colleagues, we had 20 witnesses at committee. 18 were not only supportive, but were pleading with the committee to pass this legislation quickly and to finally give them an enforceable solution to this problem. Only 2 of those 20 witnesses raised any concerns. And which 2 would those be? Those that are not paying their bills on time. Steve McKinnon, Parliamentary Secretary to the Minister of Public Services and Procurement, while not stating that he was opposed to the legislation, stated that he was told there may be some jurisdictional issues, and they were told this by lawyers from Justice Canada. As the Chair knows, we pleaded with Justice Canada to send over some lawyers to testify so that we could ask them about this, and eventually they reluctantly sent over 2. Both said they could not say for certain whether the bill was unconstitutional, but there may be some concerns. We then invited a renowned constitutional expert to testify about whether this legislation was within federal jurisdiction, and he was absolutely emphatic that this was within the federal parliament's right to legislate. The committee accepted his opinion. The only other witness to raise concerns was a general contractor, who, of course, is the party responsible for paying its bills and who is often the culprit in terms of the delays in payment and the disastrous consequences that have resulted in the construction industry. We heard stories from trade contractors at committee who had waited 180, 220 days, 4 years, and even up to 7 years to receive any payment for completed and certified work. One said that he's gotten to the point where he just won't work with general contractors anymore. Dan Lancia, an electrical contractor, told the committee, "It is a systemic problem in our industry. I don't do any government work. I do private sector work. It's systemic in private sector. When dealing with general contractors, they hold on to your money." From what I understand now, they've actually hired money managers to manage my money, he said, and not give it to me. That's becoming so much of a problem, I've actually decided I don't like working for general contractors anymore. For that reason, we may be slowing our business down a bit by not taking on so many projects and not hiring as many people as we usually do. I am tired of being a bank. I am tired of having the bank call me. I am tired of having suppliers call me. I am just tired. I have been in business for 28 years. It has been a great business, but the business changed 15 years ago and it's getting worse, trying to get paid. So colleagues, what we did is work with the general contractor, the lawyer representing the National Trade Contractors, and the Senate Law Clerk's office, and came up with a series of amendments to satisfy the vast majority of not only the general contractor's concerns, but other concerns. Of course, the committee was not able to satisfy all of the general's requests, but we made a compromise. All of the amendments that I proposed at committee were accepted unanimously. As Senator Tkachuk did a great job explaining each amendment when he tabled our committee's report, I will not repeat all the details. I will, however, highlight one amendment that was recommended by Senator Ringette, which spoke to a swift, efficient adjudication process. This was one of the most significant improvements to the legislation, and I thank her sincerely for her work on this file. Honorable colleagues, as most of you did not have the opportunity to listen to the stories of the contractors who came before us, I will leave you with just one story, and a quote from Ed Whalen, who testified representing Canada Steelworkers. I asked him what he thought about the parliamentary secretary's suggestion that we simply strike up another working group, or perhaps try to come up with yet another solution, and whether that would satisfy their concerns. And this is what he stated with tears in his eyes. "The ultimate problem is that we are not getting paid in time. If some process takes 120 days or longer, then it's not the solution. We have expectations from our suppliers that they want to be paid in 30 days. We're running up our lines of credit. The banks are on our backs. They're ready to pull the pin. You wouldn't get this many trade contractors in front of this Senate committee unless this was very serious. Hundreds of thousands of Canadians are at risk. Thousands of companies are at risk through no fault of their own. We need a solution so that our guys can minimize the risk in one draw. Then they can make a business decision. At the moment," he said, "it's one draw, two draws, three draws, four draws, and then, unbeknownst to them, the bank is on their back. They can't collect, but everybody is looking for money. This isn't a joke. We need immediate solutions. Is there some other possible way to solve this problem?" The rest of the world said no. They all came down to the same common denominator, and that was legislation. Why are we trying to reinvent the wheel? We have something sitting right in front of us. We can work on additional solutions later. Do you want these companies going down through no fault of their own? Mr. Whalen concluded with this: "We're trying to make a living, to keep the economy going, and to employ people. We're trying to build things, not feed the lawyers lots of money. All those legal fees and expenses come out of our bottom line. Right now, our bottom line is nothing. Anything that delays payment and takes away from our ability to survive is money gone. We need a bit of profit in order to survive, and you're not giving it to us. Colleagues, it is time we give the contractors what they need to survive. All they want is to be paid for work that they have completed. They have waited long enough. Earlier this week, we passed Bill S-229, Senator Mitchell's Call Before You Dig bill. It, too, had been in this chamber far too long. It is a completely nonpartisan issue, and it, too, needs to pass the other place. We owe it to Canadians. Let's move this along to the other place so it has a chance of passing in this session. Our trade contractors across the country, their livelihoods and their families are depending on it. For this reason, colleagues, I humbly ask if you would like to speak to this legislation, do so today on behalf of the trade contractors across the country so that we can vote on this bill today, pass it over to the other place. Thank you.
Senator Mitchell.
I'm on debate.
Senator Mitchell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I appreciate what Senator Plett said about it being late. I was saying to him earlier today that it's not June yet, and I'm already, it's only May, and I'm already June tired, and I'm sure you are as well. So I do just want to say a few words in support of this bill. Senator Plett did recognize something that is remarkable in some senses, and that's that we've had two senators' bills, public bills, this week that affect construction, the security, the integrity of construction in different ways in this country this week. I want to thank colleagues in the Senate who supported Bill 229, and that was very rewarding for me. I will just say as an aside that it was only widely supported in the Senate, and that in fact one-third of my caucus didn't actually vote for it. And I only mention this because I want to lay to rest once and for all any suggestion that I actually have any reach as a whip whatsoever. So from now on, you know why I am legitimately called liaison. And in fact, to further the analysis, I can count on my own vote, so I actually couldn't control 50% of my own caucus. I am supporting this bill for two reasons. One is very fundamentally common sense. The fact of the matter is that this is a question of fairness. If you do work, you should get paid for it, and you should get paid for it in a timely fashion. And I also think that a corollary of that is that it's quite fundamental to the integrity of the federal government that that kind of payment is done properly and in a timely fashion. But the second reason, which is more substantive, and I speak to as an Albertan, I think many people, probably many of the colleagues in the Senate, have this sense that Alberta is a province of big companies. You look at the buildings in Calgary, you can only imagine that it's nothing but an economy of big companies. You see the massive development in the north. It could only be an economy of big companies. But what I know from having lived there for decades and decades and decades and been integrally involved in that economy and in those communities and that community and that province, as you all are in your own regions, is that is not an economy that is driven just, if not even primarily, by big companies. That is an economy that is driven by small businesses and medium-sized businesses. They are the mainstay of the economy of Alberta. And they are probably, I expect, the mainstay of every economy in every province and territory in this country. And what I also know about small business is that it will be the mainstay of a future diversified new kind of 21st century economy. And that is a very compelling initiative, an important initiative, an important direction for the economy of my province to take. So if small businesses, who are by and large are often the subcontractors in this series of payments that's being addressed by this bill are not paid in a timely fashion, they go out of business. This bill instills instinctively, necessitates a respect for small business and for medium-sized businesses, which, as I say, have this important place in the economy of Alberta and the economy of this country and in whatever future diversified economy we have for the 21st century. And for that reason, this bill, in honoring small business in the way that it does, in supporting small business in the way that it does, needs to get further consideration. It needs to get from here and over to that side. I know that that Senator Platt has done tremendous work on this. There is never any doubt about his diligence with respect to whatever it is that he undertakes to do. Believe me, I've been on the other side of it a number of times. I also know that the committee has done tremendous work on this. I believe in my heart of hearts that this is again an indication of the kind of work that the Senate is here to do for Canadians in advancing public policy issues which often aren't considered quickly enough or at all by the other side. So I also know that there are some weaknesses that have been raised, and Senator Platt, I think, has addressed each and every one of those in a very effective manner. He said something to me quite humorous in my mind. A while ago, I said, well, I've heard it's got constitutional problems. And he said to me, well, I've sat on the legal committee for any number of years, and there has never been a bill that's appeared before the legal committee for which somebody didn't raise constitutional issues. So at the very least, these issues can be considered on the other side. For those reasons, my belief that this supports a very fundamentally important principle and a fundamentally important element of our very being as an economy and as a community in my province and in this country, small business and medium-sized business, I support this bill on third reading. I'm going to be voting for it, and I hope it gets to the other side as quickly as possible.
Senator Mitchell.
Will Senator Mitchell take a question?
For it to Senator Platt to answer it.
I was sitting on the Banking and Commerce Committee, and my concern has always been the same. This bill is for federal projects, and I think the concern that we all have is with provincial situations, because most of the small entrepreneurs are provincially regulated. So how is this legislation going to help provincial legislation and provincial entrepreneurs so that they have, they're being promptly paid?
Senator Mitchell.
One thing I know about this country is that it's had a remarkable history of collaboration between the levels of government. And there are all kinds of instances where there have been overlaps or gaps between and amongst the federal government and the provinces. And many of those instances can be argued on the basis of constitutional parameters. But what I also know is that when government, this federal government, sets its mind to something, and when its public servants are asked, we're not asking you whether we can do this, we'd like you to find out a way to make this happen, it may well be that it won't happen as a result of this bill being passed in this form on that other side. But at the very least, it might, but at the very least, what this bill does is sends a very strong message from a very significant body in the parliamentary system of government in Canada that we want, if we vote for it, and I hope we do, we want something done. Figure it out. Find a way. And you know what? I've got confidence that all the minds over there and the minds of the public service can find a way to figure it out and work with the provinces to make it work for small and medium businesses in this country.
Senator Fraser.
Thank you, Your Honor. Before Senator Mitchell delivered his eloquent remarks, I was rising to propose the adjournment of the debate so that one of our group could speak. But while Senator Mitchell was delivering his eloquent remarks, I was persuaded by an extremely persuasive and highly respected colleague that it would be a good thing for me not to propose the adjournment of the debate. So I shall not do so.
Senator's ready for the question. Senator Whetstone.
rise in support of this bill as well. I'll be brief, obviously. The main reason is not as much as there is a great urge in my part to take up the constitutional discussion, I will not do that. The main reason I'm rising to support this bill, having been on the Banking Committee and worked through the amendments and the process before the committee, is that there's a clear market failure. And where there is a market failure, it requires a response from the government to address that failure. Basically, there is no level playing field here. And there is a clear payment cycle that has been elongated, according to the witnesses that have appeared before this committee. So something needs to be done. Senator Plett described what's occurred in other jurisdictions. Many jurisdictions, the US, UK, Ireland, Australia, etc., have prompt payment legislation. So to describe this briefly from my perspective, there being a market failure, something needs to address this failure. The only way to address this failure is through some public policy response, in my opinion. That response is this bill. There is a payment waterfall here. That payment waterfall looks more like a payment trickle and not a waterfall. That needs to be addressed. I believe the bill and the amendments create a very balanced bill that addresses this particular problem. For that reason, Mr. Speaker, I support the bill.
All right, senators ready for the question? It was moved by the Honourable Senator Plett, seconded by the Honourable Senator Wells, that the bill as amended be read a third time. Is it your pleasure, Honourable Senators, to adopt the motion?
Agreed.
Adopte, carried.
Third reading of this bill, 'twas in Lex Citizen Project of the Law.